back as we continue with the Feast of Israel, as we continue to go through them. We just kind of touched just a little bit this particular one that we're going to deal with tonight. Only because Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are often, even in the Scripture, they're placed together. They're referred to as the same as the same time frame, in which they are. They're a day apart. Passover, or the Feast of Passover, is on the 14th day of Nisan. Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on the 15th day of Nisan. Oftentimes when you read the Gospels, one of the things that people often get a little confused is when they're reading through the Gospels, more specifically as Jesus was getting ready to go into Jerusalem. And on his way into Jerusalem, right prior to the crucifixion and those things that took place, you will find a reference to the feast or to the Feast of Passover. And so when they see that, they kind of, and especially when the Gospels even will speak of it, of all of the days of the Feast of Passover. Well, it's oftentimes in the Scripture, and sometimes what you find is they're used interchangeably with each other. Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oftentimes the Feast of Passover is taking both of them and placing them together. Feast of Unleavened Bread is 7 days. If you include the Feast of Passover, it's a full 8 days. And you will see a reference to the 8 days. You'll see a reference to the 7 days. And so just keep in mind, they're referenced together. One begins on the 14th day of Nisan, which is the first month for the nation of Israel. They begin their month in the month Nisan, which is about March-April time frame for our calendars, right? But the month Nisan, the 14th day of Nisan, is Passover. The 15th day of Nisan is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It goes for a period of 7 days. So as we start through your notes tonight, we're going to talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? We're going to go through it. And, you know, a lot of folks wonder, well, if you covered everything in Passover, what in the world can you cover in the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Well, just hold on to your seat. There's a lot, okay? And we're going to go through and look at it from the perspective of the word. Number one, in your notes, during the 8 days of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and you notice even here, I make reference to the 8 days, during the 8 days of Passover, because they will refer to that entire period as the time of Passover. And so during the 8 days of Passover, only foods that had no yeast were allowed to be eaten. You know, most people are under the impression that it was dealt strictly with bread and bread only. Anything that had yeast, period. Okay? Any food substance that would have yeast was forbidden. A matter of fact, even just yeast itself had to be discarded. All right? So from the yeast itself all the way through, or the leaven, all the way through any food that had leaven or yeast, they were not allowed to be eaten, okay? Number two, the first day was called Passover, and the remaining 7 days were identified as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 15. Now, you're going to see something interesting here, depending on which translation of Scripture you have, specifically in verse 15. Starting in verse 14 of Exodus 23, you notice it says, three times you will keep a feast unto me in the year. You will keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you in the time appointed of the month Abib. Well, let me share with you what that is. Okay, well, wait a minute. I thought you just said it was in the month Nisan. It is. Okay. So what in the world then is the reference in Exodus 23 to the month Abib? Well, Abib is the Canaanite name of the Hebrew month Nisan. Okay? So when you see Abib, that is the Canaanite name. Okay? Nisan is the Hebrew name. Okay? That's the difference. So Abib and Nisan are the same. Okay, it's the same month. For in you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And then in verse 16, he goes through the other feasts as well. Let's flip over to Leviticus chapter 23. And we will look at verse 4, 5, and 6, and you'll see kind of as they're put together here. Now, keep in mind, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are also referred to as spring feasts. Okay? They're known as the spring feasts. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, the spring season. And the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover, 14th day of Nisan, first day. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Okay? Combined 8 days, separated. Passover 1 day, Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. Okay? You see that? All right, number 3. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is probably, you know, most of the time when you ask folks about the feasts, okay, and you can ask this question, can anybody name a feast in the scripture? Did you know the most common one that is always spoken of is the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Okay, believe it or not, that's the one that most people know at least something about. Okay, you have the Feast of Tabernacles, you have the Feast of First Fruits, you have the Feast of Trumpets, you have Passover, you have all of those other feasts that make up that festival time of the year for the children of Israel. But most of the time, most will understand, most people know about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Number 4, God commanded Jews to eat only the pure unleavened bread during the week following Passover. Let's go back to Exodus, okay, chapter 12, all right? Exodus chapter 12. And let's look at let's start in verse 14, okay? Now, the children of Israel, or the Jews, the Hebrews, are getting ready to depart out of Egypt. And so the instructions have been given to them of how they're to prepare for this. Matter of fact, and here's the way you're going to eat. Matter of fact, if you go up to verse 8, and they will eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Then you come down to verse 11, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girt, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Okay, you see that? It's the Lord's Passover. When you come down to verse 14, and this day will be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You will keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Speaking of Passover here, but we come to verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. You see that? So you had to get rid of the leaven. You couldn't even have it. Okay? Plus you had to eat unleavened bread. And then flip over to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, from verse 1 all the way down through verse 10, we go back through it again, specifically starting in verse 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Now notice the next phrase, there shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore unto you by or your fathers to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. Now notice verse 6. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and then the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread will be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with you. Neither shall there be leaven seen with you. In matter of fact, you can't even have it in the house. You can't have it on you. You can't have it in your house, okay, or in the bread.
So the cups on Passover and presumably the rest of these days that they would have drunk would have been only grape juice or unfermented cups. Wouldn't there have been yeast?
Well, you're talking about the leal that is extracted out of the wine and is used for yeast sometimes. The fruit of the vine that they would have consumed with the cup would probably more than likely, and I don't want to get in, okay, this is another whole discussion, okay, of whether or not it's fermented or unfermented, okay. So the cup at Passover, which is before the period of leaven, okay, and keep in mind, Passover and the cup that was taken at Passover is prior to the 7 days of unleavened bread when leaven was forbidden. So the cup at Passover, it would have been, and actually at Passover, there's actually three cups. Okay? All right? Is that kind of clear? She'd asked a question about, doesn't wine have a yeast in it? Well, it does. Once it goes through a fermentation process, it creates what's called a leal in wine. And that leal then is the yeast portion. Okay? But at Passover, leaven was not forbidden on the day of Passover. Only the days of unleavened bread, which consisted of 7 days, not the full 8 days. Everybody kind of see that? Yeah, it should. That probably, yes, that's a good point there. The 8 days of Passover would have been the days of leaven, when leaven is actually forbidden, is in the 7 days of unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, at the Feast of Passover, there is some question as to whether or not the bread that Jesus and them ate was unleavened or leavened, as they tore the bread to give it. That's an area that is much written about today. Okay. All right. But let me, if I could clear. Here's probably the easiest way to clear it up. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is 7 days. That no yeast was to be on your person, in your house, or in the bread. So for those 7 days, you could not. Passover was a separate day. Okay, if you go back to Exodus 12, I tell you what, let's do a quick look here. Okay, go back to chapter 12, and let's see. They did have unleavened bread in Passover. It's in verse 8 of chapter 12. And they will eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Okay. So it was unleavened bread at Passover. The commandment or the requirement of the law, okay, was specifically for that 7 day period. Matter of fact, if you go to chapter 13 and look at chapter 13, all right, out of this place, there shall no leavened bread be eaten. And this day came you out in the month Abib, so which would say probably that was the day of Passover. Okay? And it will be that we go on down through here. Now look at verse 6, though. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and then the seventh day shall be a feast of the Lord. So it's, that's a good question, actually. Okay? They did eat unleavened bread when they were getting ready to come out. All right. I'm going to have to go. You know what? That's a good one. I'm going to go research that and just see. Okay.
Like
Well, it can. The Greek word there can mean to tear it, to break it, because that particular Greek word has more than just the connotation of breaking it. Okay? It can also mean to tear it. Okay? Just like when they made reference to Jesus' own body is broken for you, it's where it's actually torn. Mm-hmm. All right, does that kind of answer everybody's question? So let me answer it for you. Okay? It appears that the bread was unleavened on Passover. Okay? From the context here and reading the passage of Scripture. But I'm going to go do a little bit further research specifically into that question.
This, I've heard that the reason for the unleavened bread was when they were preparing to leave Egypt, the bread would not have time to rise. Is that the origin of that?
I don't know. I've not heard that. Mm-mm. I've not heard that. Brother Harry? Brother Harry? Yeah, that could very well be the reason that they had unleavened bread on that. Okay, now the question is did each Passover they have unleavened bread, or was only when they came out? I guess that's the question that I'm going to dig further into. Was the unleavened bread because they were coming out of Egypt? Okay. Because the law stated that the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you would not have leaven. Okay. Just hold on. Okay. Next Wednesday night, okay, I'll give you a insight into that. Okay? All right. Number 5. Leaven in the Bible symbolize sin and evil. Now, it's interesting when you run the word leaven or leavened, okay? It's used 38 times in 28 verses. And here's the interesting thing about it. It's in 5 Old Testament books and it's in 5 New Testament books, okay? 5 Old and 5 New. Exodus, Leviticus, Hosea, and Amos, okay? Which are 4 that it's used pretty frequently in. So you have Exodus and Leviticus. I think Deuteronomy is the other one, and then Hosea and Amos, and then you have the 5 books in the New Testament. Galatians, it's mentioned in Matthew, I think Luke, okay? And then there's a couple of other New Testament books that leaven is actually mentioned in. But it's used 38 times, 38 times in 28 verses. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. In the New Testament, let's see what it says about unleavened bread or unleavened, okay, or leaven itself. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 9. Now, of course, Jesus, one of the things that that Paul is dealing with here is the subject of liberty as a Christian, as a child of God. We've been set free. We're no longer entangled again with the bondage or under the bondage of the law. And so when you come to verse 9 of Galatians chapter 5, speaking about this teaching that Paul is dealing with here, if you start in verse number 6, and notice what Paul says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision it doesn't mean anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Okay, it has nothing to do with circumcision or uncircumcision at all. And basically false teaching or wrong teaching, if you look at verse number 9, okay, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay, it's a symbol of corruption is what it is. It can corrupt the whole entire ball of dough, okay, that you're working with, a little leaven, all right? A little affects a lot, all right? So it doesn't take much leaven or much yeast to cause that bread to rise, okay? So the subject of leaven from the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread at Sin, and basically what that is, it's a picture of the evil and the corruption and everything that's being removed, okay, completely removed from the individual person to the house to the actual food that they're eating. The leaven is gone, okay? It's removed completely, all right? Number six, it's small but powerful. It works secretly. It puffs up the dough. And it spreads. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, right? Jesus himself made reference to leaven. You know, oftentimes we see this Feast of Unleavened Bread and we see leaven and we see unleavened and wonder, is there any application of any of it to us? Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse number 5, okay? Speaking about signs here, in the chapter 15 prior to this, Jesus wound up sending the multitude away and took the ship and he came to the coast of Magdala. Chapter 16, verse 1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came, and basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to trap him, okay? They're trying to trap Jesus in a conversation here. And basically, he wanted them to show them a sign from heaven. So he goes through all of that, and he said, well, you know, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them, and he departed. So verse 5, so when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to bring the bread. In other words, they had leftovers, okay? They left it. They didn't bring it with them, all right? So when you come to verse 6, it's an interesting conversation, all right? Here's Jesus. He's already on the other side. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they've had a discussion. Now here comes the disciples. They left the bread over on the other side. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So he looks at them, makes that statement to you with the subject of leaven. And so verse 7, so they reasoned among themselves saying, well, it must be. The reason he made that statement is because we didn't bring any bread with us. Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, oh, you have little faith. Why reason you among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand? Neither remember, do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spoke it not to you concerning bread that you should be aware of, but of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the corruptness, okay, the evil teaching that came from the Pharisees, okay? So the subject of leaven there, Jesus Christ himself used the subject of leaven just to show, okay, just to show the significance of leaven. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a time period that was set aside where it spoke of sin and evil and corruption being completely removed for a period of 7 days. They would eat nothing with leaven in it at all. Absolutely nothing. Number 7, the eating of the unleavened bread over a period of 7 days symbolized the holy walk with the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. It spoke of the walk, the relationship with a holy God because the leaven has been removed. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 8. And let me tell you what, the church at Corinth had some issues. One of them was the issue of pride, okay? of which Paul is going to deal with here in this portion of his letter. When you look at verse number 6, your glorying or your pride is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? In other words, it can affect the entire thing. Sandy just said one bad apple spoils the whole bunch, okay? That is correct. So the issue of leaven, okay, and the subject of leaven in scriptures, it's pretty significant. I mean, that week, that 7-day period of unleavened bread, of having no leaven on you in the house or in anything that you eat, spoke volumes about the seriousness of this issue. Well, when you look at verse number 7, he says, what you need to do, then you need to purge out, or you need to clean out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. And he goes on down from here speaking about that. Okay? So Paul here, even writing to the church at Corinth, dealing with those issues, okay, speaks of leaven and unleavened. And he speaks of the feast here. Matter of fact, he speaks as of the Passover, with Christ as our Passover. You know, so what is the significance of this passage of Scripture? Well, number 8 in your notes, as celebrants of the festival of Passover, used here as a picture of the Christian life, they were to observe it as bread without yeast. But notice this, it's the bread of sincerity and then truth. It's the bread of sincerity and of truth. That's what Paul's dealing with here. Number 9, Christ is for believers what the Passover was for the Jews. It's what he is for us. Christ is for us what the Passover was for the Jews. In Egypt, they had offered their sacrifice in order that the angel might pass over them. Number 10, Paul is using this imagery to remind his readers that the death of Christ had delivered them from the slavery to evil and made them the people of God. They've been set free. Just as they came out of Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. Leaven is a picture of sin and evil and corruption. Christ is our Passover. We've been delivered from the evil and the sin that does so easily beset us. And now our life is hid in Christ. Okay? Unleavened, as Paul said in verse number 7. Purge out or clean out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. It's been removed. It's gone. Number 11. There is emphasis on the beginning of a new life here. And here the symbolism of yeast makes an important point. And I think we often miss that. We overlook that and the importance of that. All right? And so Paul, and let me tell you something, Paul is dealing with a subject here that his readers, okay, especially the Jews, the Judaizers, they would understand that very clearly concerning leaven and unleavened. Number 12, Israel was commanded to remove all yeast before the sacrifice. And we saw that in Exodus 12 in chapter 13. And in Paul's day, a feature of Passover observance was a solemn search for and destruction of all yeast before the feast began. So even in Paul's day, they still kept that. They still adhered to that. Okay? That the leaven was completely removed. Now, a lot of people say, okay, when we observe the Lord's Supper, okay? Now, I do know that there are those churches who use leavened bread for the Lord's Supper. Okay?
Bookstore, black preachers would call in and say, you have any of those Lord's Supper pellets?
Call them pellets. Okay. You know, and so when you look at the Lord's Supper today, the bread that you use comes out. Let me tell you something. Any of y'all ever had the Lord's Supper where they had that little thin, it was like a styrofoam wafer they put in there? Okay, and it just kind of dissolves. Okay. And let me tell you something. There was a day, matter of fact, some of the churches in South Georgia where I pastored, okay, they met at the church on Saturday night and baked the unleavened bread. And then they would break it all up and put it in the bread trays in preparation for the Lord's Supper the next day. All right. Now, we use the pre-bought. OK, they're already in there, but there's no leaven in them. OK, so, you know, the question becomes, is the bread that you use for the Lord's Supper, should it be leavened or should it be unleavened bread? We're not going to get into that tonight, okay? Just throw that out there, okay? We use unleavened, and let me tell you one of the reasons why I believe we ought to. The reason being is because of what leaven symbolizes. So when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, okay, the removal of sin, corruption, and evil should be removed from our hearts, that our relationship with God is where it should be. And then when we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread symbolizing the removal of sin, corruption, and evil, and the fruit of the vine. Okay? So that's my opinion. Okay?
Isn't that what Paul's saying here? That actually did a search for the yeast to make sure there was none on the premises.
That's correct. Number 13. This had to be done before the sacrifice, the kid of the lamb, was offered in the temple. Paul points out that Christ, our Passover, has already been sacrificed. So number 14, it's time and more than time that all yeast, i.e. all evil, was put away. And basically, that's what he's writing to the church at Corinth. It is time that all evil be put away. All of it has no place. There's no place for it. There. Number 15. In his letter to Corinth, Paul is drawing attention to the devastating contradiction in the Corinthians' tolerance of leaven in the lump. Let me tell you what was happening in the church. The church at Corinth was tolerating sin in the church. Paul said it needs to be removed. Okay? Needs to be removed. Number 16, the Passover lamb, i.e. Jesus, has already been sacrificed. The festival celebrations, which normally lasted a week for the Jews, have already begun and should be a permanent feature of the redeemed community. Okay? Our celebration should be every day in the finished work of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Okay? Not just 7 days, every day. It ought to be a part. It ought to be a part of who we are. Number 17. But still, there's leaven in the community, and a very large piece of leaven, too. The very nature of the Christian community was based on the new Passover sacrifice, Jesus Christ, and thus demands absolute purity. We should seek that every day in our lives. Romans chapter 6. If we've been baptized together with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, we're no longer under the bondage of sin. So we should seek every day to live a life that is pleasing, willfully not committing sin. But are we going to commit sin? Sure. That's why every day, okay, we should keep a short account of sin in our own lives, every single day. That's why it's so important to keep a short account of sin. Because I'm going to tell you something, I don't care who you are, okay? You're not going to walk out the door saying, I wonder how many sins I can commit today. That's not what you're going to do, okay? But I will tell you something, during the day, you're going to. Right. Number 18. So in Paul's mind, you are unleavened, purified from the evil which is yours by nature. And basically, so what he said, so become who you are. And basically, that's what Paul says. He says, so become what you are, an unleavened lump. Not leavened, unleavened. Number 19. Let me tell you what, all of these notes we're going through right now is the application of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to today. Okay? So when you look at number 19, this is the essence of his incentive for holy living. Look at what God in Christ has done for you. Now get on with becoming what he has made possible. Now, number 20, this is the reason for his insistence on celebration. Verse number 8, therefore let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of what? Sincerity and truth. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, dealing with the subject of leaven, has application to us today. We should be in the same place as Paul was here writing to the church at Corinth. Number 21, the Christian's Paschal Feast. Now watch this. Does not have to last for 1 week. What? But all of their life. Every single day. Amen? Passover. Feast of Unleavened Bread. Subject of leaven. Throughout Scripture. There are some further stipulations in Leviticus under the law that they could do and could not do during that week. But the main emphasis was the removal of the leaven. It symbolized, of course, evil, corruption, and sin. It was to be completely removed. Mm-hmm.